cannot build away from the abundantly, the Ukraine of Israel and simply and surrender them to the earth or to Russia, it's impossibility. So this is about Israel. But the prayer is not only for the community, the prayer that individually becomes expressed in prayer. The question, what about individuals? Is this the same body? God will not dispose of the community. He'll never forget forsake the community, but individuals can be forsaken. So ground is soil is not the climate yet of bitachon, of confidence and faith. Now you should say that I as an individual, you know it first. Yes, I mean, whose presence no one knows of, and whose absence no one will notice. Who occupies very no place in society, no one knows it. So that individual, that lonely, I mean, anonymous individual, will not be forsaken by God. It says, you will throughout this soil, let the Gemara suggest that. But not only throughout this soil, the dual and redemption and salvation was promised to the community of God. But each individual was saved. So, you will arrest him on three, you will arrest him legal as an echo, and you send them to the reign of the Allah. As a matter of fact, in Friches, they took many psukim, which was being formulated in the singular, and they changed it in the plural. Is Yule Rotsin Imre Sinu, the Evli Rebeinu Lefanecho, Adeshem Tzereinu Lede Aleinu. I mean, by so doing, they simply deprived the person of his most important theme, that the individual was promised. Yule was not promised, was promised not only to the community, to the people, but to each and every individual separately. This is very important. The necessary is because I have to include myself in the community, because otherwise I have no right. But then when you express your confidence in your betachu, you have to say that I have been assured. As an individual, as a lonely person, I mean, redemption and salvation. That's the Gemara says. After the house is oil, why not say, you are what you see, you are giving from Yahweh, the same Surah of daily, and that person would complete, what would it complete? The idea of Gula. By stating that the promise of Gula is all includes the individual as well. So let me give my answer, let's now continue. Omer Rabbi Yehuda, the Rebbe Rabbi Shimon ben Tazi, Rabbi Yehuda, the son of Rabbi Shimon ben Tazi, said, Eyyung lei Omre David, lei Amore David, David said the Pesach. You have to see him in the Nechad, there's some Tzirin again, I'll read this Pesach. Ele lacha yitches parshas, Esther 18 chapters in the Psalms. This is, actually, if you're not in the team, it's not the 18th, it is the 19th. Rameteach, Hashomayim is stopping for two, Ramasi Yod of Magid Rokia, in a Beina. You know what's in the team, if you're not in the team, the deal is. That's actually, it is the 19th. The Gemara will raise the question. But since this is the first unit, Tilling is composed of units. So the first unit is the 18 or 19 chapter. The Shem Tzir of the Gealim is not a preface to Tilling, but it is the conclusion. It is the last motto. Since David has placed it at the end of the first unit in Tilling, that's why it was introduced. It was introduced as the motto of Shemesre, which is recited at the conclusion, not at the beginning. So now it's like that. You say go out this way, and you don't dwell anymore on the topic of Gula. Immediately you change your mood, you change your awareness, it's a leap in a different dimension of despair, by reason of resignation, by reason of giving up, you just are in a different dimension, a world of hope and anticipation and confidence and faith. And you say, Galena de Shemtzwei, 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 Boruch HaTzah, Shem Goal Yisrael, redemption. There is a leap. It's very funny, I mean. A very miraculous leap. I mean, Jews are being trained, I mean, to that, to the sudden changes in the emotional attitude. This is not many depressive, I mean, symptoms. I want you to understand that. I mean, Jews have always, I mean, operated with dialectics, a certain. I mean, they try to combine two opposites, I mean, to actually the thesis and the antithesis, I mean, they try to reconcile. Then is the leap in a world of despair, resignation, and complete loss of human dignity, just like an animal is trapped, I mean. So what, I mean, it's just, the animal does not understand how to say, what to say, what's wrong. But instinctually, the animal will fight. And it will instinctually, somehow mechanically, I mean, act in order to simply to liberate itself, to extricate itself from the threat or whatever. So the human being is like the animal. I mean, he's trapped now. Now he's complete darkness. He doesn't see any beam of light, any ray of light. And he says that only on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Excuse HaKadosh Baruch Hu. No one else can help it. Yes, hence the fact of the reality of God. Complete change of the awareness. And then you say your prayers, and concluding your prayers, you regain again the same awareness which you abandoned before you start to sleep. And then it's confidence and faith and hope, you say, you were watching a few years in Sanecho at the same time. Whatever I said is certainly acceptable to you. I didn't say anything which is wrong. Everything is acceptable. But not only what I said, but whatever I did not say, I couldn't say. Because I couldn't express it. Many things a man feels and cannot express it. He cannot formulate any of his feelings in proper sentences. I mean, some feelings, I mean, are so elusive, and some feelings, on the contrary, are dormant, and some feelings, on the contrary, are powerful, that the human vocabulary cannot accommodate them. The human vocabulary is not commodious. The medium of expression for all his emotions. Because you were ultimately, whatever I said, the head you will be. Also the thought or the sentiment of my heart, which I could not formulate, I could not utter, I could not spell out. It's impossible. They are ineffable, they are inexpressible. I'm ashamed, but I, you know my, as well, you heard my recital, my prayer, you also know my innermost thought and sentiment. And I have confidence in you because you are my creator, and you created me as a noble being, as a great being, as a human being, with human dignity, and it comes to enhance your reality. That's how Kabbalah is. It is very strange what it is. Magnificent. Now let us say that the Gemara says, now the Gemara takes up a different topic. The topic revolves about a very strange, I mean, the problem revolves about a very strange matter. About the question of the first psalm and the second psalm. And say, particularly, whether that is one chapter or two different chapters. What is the first psalm? I shall know about that question that happened in one week. The second psalm. Prima facie, there are two psalms. As a matter of fact, in all our theories, books of theories, they are divided into two. Divided into two. I've never come across any book of theories, any psalter, in which, I mean, the two chapters should form one unit. Never come. So I can't rely on myself, I mean, שגם הרשורי, עם ברוך השיר, וגם בספרנו, מחולוקים היו לשני פרקים, איזה נערבוק, ואשרי איש התורה בת עשרה שועים, ולמה רוק שגיעים אומרים לי, יהיה בריא לי, אני אקנס את זה two different psalms, two different chapters. And the Gemara insists here that Ashrei Isha Shalola Batas Vashoi Dach Atoi Yom Lomot and Lomo Rok Shigei Yilun Yaburi Yisrat Tu Malch Eret Tu Yilun Neizu Yochat Al Hashem Al Mesiche Nat Tom Mishpashene Nashlich Amen Al Mishpane Yishu Vashma Yisrael Hashem Gilad Lomei is the one psalm, the second to be the first one, and the second is just an extension of Ashrei. Because this says David has mentioned that Hashem stood in the Gialy following 18 chapters. But actually we count our 19 chapters. Apparently the three counted, of Shimon and Pazi, counted one and second, and the first and the second as one chapter. You just ignore it, I'll just read the sentence. You tell Fabian, there are 19, the more answers, Ashrei Yish, the Lomo Rok Shugayim, Choda Parashay, is the one psalm. And he quotes the same Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi again, that he also, that he got another problem, he counted Ashrei, Lomo Rok Shugayim, as one. The Omar Rabbi Yehuda Breda Rabbi Shimon Pazi, it's the same Mandoma. Kuzgimut Parshas Omar David. David has recited 103 psalms, and he has not concluded any psalm with how you call. The Omar how you call. The first psalm which is concluded is how you call is Baruch Hinafshe Karishat. This is the Kuv Dalet, 404 psalms. Atzeroa b'matalosan shoreshoim, until he witnessed, or anticipated, or foresaw, or beheld the vision of the deceit of the wicked. Shnema yisamu chatoim min oret, roshoim edenom, Baruch Hinafshe Karishem ha'luko, the first time, well, then the psalm ends, and the psalm ends with the Holocaust. This is the psalm of Baruch Hinafshe, which we say every Saturday afternoon, during the winter period, you know that? Yes. But he called Baruch Hinafshe the 103rd chapter. Actually, Baruch Hinafshe is not a 103rd chapter, but a 104th chapter. So apparently, that he counts Ashrei Yish, Lamo Rok Shegein, as the one chapter. Hanukov Gimu, it's not 103. Hanukov Daladav, it's 104. Elosh Mamino, Ashrei Yish Velomo Rok Shugayim, Chode Parshid, is the one chapter. Now the question, what prompted Chazal to take two chapters and fuse them into one? And so actually, Ashrei Yish Velomo Rok Shugayim constitute one psalm. There is some difference. There is some reason, textual reason for it. And then apparently there is also some logical reason for it. But two reasons, two motifs, two motives, which prompted them, I mean, to merge the two psalms into one. As a matter of fact, in our Masere, this is the manual, but in our Masere, we still insist that Ashrei Yish Lomo Rok Shegein form two constitute chapter. Because otherwise, I mean, people say Ashrei Yish Lomo Rok Shegein, and you say, Be Hashem Zeh Sadikim Zeh Hashem Tevet, and you don't continue. If Ashrei Yish Lomo Rok Shegein were one chapter, I mean, you should, I mean, so that then it's called partial with the past for David, we have no right, I mean, to squeeze. So whenever we recite Ashrei Yish, we would have to, I mean, to finish, I mean, to conclude with Lomo Rok Shegein, Ashrei Kol Chechedeh. Ashrei Kol Chesedeh. But since we do recite Ashrei Yish separately without continuing with Lomo Rok Shegein, apparently there's another opinion as well, that Ashrei and Lomo Rok Shegein are two chapters. And this is exactly how I say it. Way it is printed. Matter of fact, you don't have the scroll up killing, because
Excluding we have Joseph McGillis, which are at the Simo. But there is no doubt about it. And then they had the scrolls in McGillis, actually, that Ashrei Lomorok Shagim, did not fall in one chapter, but two. But what prompted Chazal, actually, to declare Ashrei Yish and Lomorok Shagim as two psalms? Prima facie, there is very little transition, continuity. At first glance, you don't see that Lomorok Shagim is an extension of Ashrei Yish, but apparently Chazal saw the transition or the link between Ashrei Yish and Lomorok Shagim. This is the problem, the logical problem. Apparently, there is some idea which is the link, forms the link, between these two chapters. But why do they say it? But there is a textual reason as well. What is the textual reason? Correct. Usually in Tilim, no. Fine. Yes, this is perhaps, that's what I speak about, the logical reason, motive. But the question is a textual reason. Because usually in Tilim, the method was, in many chapters, it's not in the world, but in many chapters, that the phrase in which David begins, he also concludes. Tilo David Aramimcho Adeshem Akam Aloch Hashem Cholom Voed. Tilo Adeshem Yidab Apila Rosh Moshe Shumpot Cholom Voed. Tilo David Aramimcho Adeshem Tilo Aramimcho Hashem. Then at the end, Tilo Adeshem Yidab Apila Voshim Kotche Lelom Voed. How Luko. How Luko. And so forth, many. Here, these two chapters, you start with Ashrei Yish, Asher Lo Labat Yisrael, and the conclusion is Ashrei Kofei Tzedek. This is the second chapter. If you have a Tilim, what matter Tilim, so you'll find it. You'll find it, Ashrei Kofei Tzedek. And this is a structural pattern in Sefer Tilim. It's a characteristic. In many, not in all, the opening phrase is used as the concluding phrase as well. Tilo David Ramim Chadeshem Kamalach Avor Hashem Cholom Voed. Tilo Chadeshem Yidav Tivor Chomot Hashem Kod Shem Voed. How Luko. It's a fourth family. Ashrei Yish, Ashrei Kochei Tzedek. And the sentence Ashrei Kochei Tzedek is the last of Lomorok Shagim. This is apparently, as a matter of fact, the Gemara says it. Domar Rab Shmuel Bar Nachmeni, Omar Rabbi Yechanan, Rabbi Shmuel ben Achmin Rabbi Yechon says, "Kol parsha sheis chaviv al David, to the shnei tisam was very dear to David, David appreciates very much. Posa bo be Ashrei yisim bo be Ashrei, doesn't mean Ashrei. It means posa bo. He opens the psalm with a certain phrase, and the same phrase was used as the conclusion, as the sequel to the parsha. Yisim bo be Ashrei. Posa bo Ashrei, the chaviv Ashrei yish. Yisim bo Ashrei, the chaviv Ashrei kol chesed." Fine. This is quite, as far as descriptive is concerned, this is a very important, actually, insight. Proof, that confirms the opinion. Because usually they're Ashrei Kochetele. Yeah, this is as far as textual proof is concerned. But what is logically that prompted Chazal? But there's not enough, textual proof is not enough, there's not suffice. There should be one idea which unites both, a common denominator. What is the common denominator in both? Oh, yes, huh? Correct, yes. It's correct. What is Lomorok Shagim? What kind of a power is it? What is Lomorok Shagim? What's actually the... Yeah. But after all, is it related to a certain period, historical period, or it is just an abstract? It speaks to Joseph about all times, or it's related, restricted to a certain period in history? The Lomorok Shagim, Lum Yegori, Yisyatsu Malchoret, Lum Neizen Yachad, Allah the Shem Ra'al Meshichin, and Natskam Mishosein, and Ashlichon Menei Avishemei, יש בשמיים יצחק לשם ילד לומד בבלעין בפה, ובחרים יהיו עליהם, ואני נסחתי מלכי על סין על קודשי. אני אצלעים, אני אהיה ימיד איתך, שאו מנבט נגיעים מהחוסך. Well, what do you say about it? We had enough trouble with that chapter. Missionaries and all Christian theologians have utilized this chapter. This chapter is one of the... We had trouble from two parishes. This chapter in Kilim and a certain section in Yishayo. No, it's good. In Alma, they saw the letters they. They call it the Gibachayu. They will Gibachayu. But we had enough trouble with this chapter as well. All right. But what is portrayed in that chapter? What is portrayed in that chapter? Is Chazal coming? We have to see the Gemara. The Gemara says here. The Gemara calls it Parshas Geidemolim. The Gemara calls that chapter, Lomo Rock Shigayim, the Parsha of Gigamorim, we have it right here in the Gemara. Lomo Nismocho Parsha of Avisholim, Lizal Rivochim, Nasholim's name is the third chapter. The wise Parsha of Avisholim follows the Parsha of Gigamorim. What is Gigamorim? Lomo Rock Shigayim, the Parsha of Gigamorim. The Parsha of Gigamorim. This is the Parsha of what? Yeah, it's an eschatological period, but actually it's the parasha of... Yeah, actually I mean the rebellion against God. It's very strange, I mean. When you read Yom Rok Shigayim, or certain... The way Chazal has interpreted it, it's almost, I mean, portraying current events. I mean, it is, I mean, that the parasha describes and portrays a certain period, a certain era, during which the world, or a part of the world, will be determined simply to dethrone the Almighty. Simply to rebel, rebellion of men against his Creator. I mean, now it is all. What is all coming is blood. Coming is blood, as it is. No, I mean, they control, I'm afraid, the majority of mankind, numerically speaking. It's basically rebellion against God. Rebellion against higher authority, which legislates for man his moral law, mashlichol men, there is no need for religious law. When Ashlichu Nenu Avesemi, there is no need for any divine discipline. I mean, man can write his own law. Man can simply can develop his own philosophy, his own way of life. There is no need for that intervention. This is basically what's going on in the world today. I'm sorry, but such trends are now noticeable even in Western countries. I mean, all the ideas about the theology, yes, I mean, I don't want to repeat the phrase, but it's exactly the Natko Mesra Seinev and Ashlicho Memene Ave Seinev. And the Pesach says, Yeshu Shmai Yitzchak Ad Hashem Yilat Lamech. It's very strange at such a period, the Jewish people, the Jewish community, will be somehow involved. It wasn't. And you see, it is like Gegenwoge, two power blocks, actually. They will be at war. Where will the war take place? You are Safti as Kolagim, Yerushalayim, La Muhammad. It's a very strange project. You have to. And I assemble all people from there, in Yerushalayim, in Jerusalem, and there the war will break out. And the battle, the final battle will take place somewhere on the hills, on the Judean hills. It's near Yerushalayim. Here is Lomu Rok Shigayim, Ulumi Yom Yachad, Al Hashem, Al Mashichai, Natlan, Yashlich HaVishen, Zavutin HaVishen, Natlan, Yashlich HaVishen, Zavutin HaVishen, Yeshu Vashman Yisra Shem Yolamei, and Al Hashem, Al Mashichai, means against God, and whoever is against God, is against his anointed. Who is his anointed? Mashiach, or the Knesset before. It is community, after all. This is the anointed by God. Anointed means selected. Means that the community which has been chosen. Very strange that any 18th power, any power which is ready, so to say, to abandon the yoke and to destroy the law, the divine law, and rebel against the Almighty, must be the enemy of the people, of the community. I always say, for instance, Russia's role now cannot be explained in terms of political realism, or suppose what the Germans call realpolitik. It cannot be explained. It's a little too much for them. Too much. That campaign which was on, which is going on now in Russia, through all factories, through all communist clubs, I mean, signing petitions and sending to the government that Russia intervened physically in the country between the Jews and the Arabs, and I'm afraid it's leading to that. Usually Russia has the same attitude as Hitler. And Hitler wanted to invade Czechoslovakia, Austria, so right away they began in all the provinces, they began to assemble and to call meetings and to send resolutions to Hitler, and the people demanding, to redeem and to save their German brethren. Because the Poles, the Czechoslovaks, or the Austrians, are persecuting them and slaughtering them. It's a massacre of the German people. And later, his armies used to cross the border. This one. Yeah. Stalin also had it. When he invaded Lithuania in 1941, also, resolutions were reached and sent petitions to the government from Lithuania itself. That he wants to come under the protectorate of the benevolent king. And the merciful angel Stalin, Joseph Stalin. The same, these demonstrations, the ruthless campaign, for 10 people, I know the Russians and the communists well. Anyway, but the question is why? Why are they? It's not so much they want to please the Arabs. They want to please the Arabs, but to please the Arabs is enough, what would have been enough for them to arm them, not to such an extent, and to support their cause in the United Nations. But to be involved as this Israel were the enemy of Russia, and if Russia had, were threatened by the existence of Israel, whoever reads the press on it, I read their press on it, I read from time to time, you get the Russian papers, the Vesna, the Pravda, I read, it is, I would say that Streicher and Goebbels, did not excel, actually. It's the best type of anti-Semitic literature which is anyway has been written. I don't believe it's just real politics. It's to say after the crash of the Swiss air, it's just Zionist propaganda and no one was killed. Oh, did the Jews, yeah, that's what one paper said. The other paper had a different version. Did the Jews themselves to enter the bus? This is not real politics. This is ugly riches, ugly wickedness. This is meanness. Meanness of the highest caliber. Meanness. It's not because of the Arabs. They want to support the Arabs or they want to get a foothold in the Middle East. It's true. But that would not induce them to act like in such stupid way. Because if one is poor and very wicked, he must be stupid as well. The stupidity goes on and is poor. And they know very well that no one believes in it. Yeah. It's simply hate. Hate. Of Israel, why? And I have one answer. We are the people who gave to the world the Bible. And we have proclaimed Malchus HaKadosh Baruch Hu on earth. God's kingdom on earth. As an ideal. And we are the people who said that men cannot rule themselves. Because the beast will come to the surface. And there is always a beast of man which can leap, and one leap get to the surface. Yeah. Russia is basically, communism is basically a doctrine which is based on rebellion against God. An arrogant rebellion. Not to Mr. Sayman Ashlichom and then I have a state. This is the matter of communism. And that's why it's Allah Hashem, Allah Hashem. There's no doubt about it. It's a chapter which portrays current events more than any newspaper or any political analysis. And that's why I'm so afraid of Russia. That's why I'm so afraid. I'm more afraid of Russia than many others. Because I know Russia, and I know it's not realpolitik which motivates them. It's moral. It's hate. It's blind hate. Beastly hate. And if one is hate, hate is a tremendous and energizing factor and can drive men to all kinds of mischief. This is Yeshiva Shemar Yitzhak HaShem Yilag Lame. Of course, Pastor Halsamim, as we believe, and as David promised us in Tulim, is Rishas who will be defeated. Defeated? You have a Tulim here, I mean, the last few Tulim. Does anybody have a Tulim? Yeah, I could, but I have to... But thank you very much. That's all right. Yeah. Shalom Emanu Rett Negei, Terei and Beshevet Bar Zot Ekriyei Satanatzi, Dedisit Afrishas. Ve'ato Melochi Maskilu Ivosu Shetzeret, Tzir Hashem Be'yiru Ve'gilu Ve'rodo, Ve'atil to people, I mean, not to abandon, not to cast off the yoke, the moral yoke, I mean, divine yoke, Nashtu Bar Tengena Ve'shev the Derech, Ve'yiva Kamarat Apri Asher Kochei Tadei. It's a reformed Chazal. It is actually eschatological, I mean, the eschatological destruction of riches, of wickedness, of cruelty, of meaning, and the defeat of evil, and the triumph of justice. It's very strange, not strange, this is typical of Chazal, that the triumph of justice, that Israel is involved in that, you see, involved, and if evil should triumph, so it means the end of Israel. And the defeat of evil means the redemption of Israel. This is exactly. Ganina Sachtim Malti Alti in our country. Now, this is how the way Chazal has interpreted Lomorok Shugayim Yuli Adari. Now, what's Ashrei Ish? Ashrei Ish, Ashal Rola, Batas Rishoy, the Hatayim Lomis, Ayish, and Yosef, and Zagres, Voyak Eichas, or Paul Gemoyim. What's mean, Voyak Eichas, or Paul Gemoyim? What is it? Is it a vision or the he portrays, I mean, he describes the fact. Is it a vision or a fact? What do you say? A fact. Where is it just a part of the morning of Shapir, you can beat the Volei, the Yivach, and the Yat Ruach. Late came our Shoim, Kim Ashakamesh, and the Ruach. Our Cain, listen to the first. You came with the Shoim by Mishpat. What kind of Mishpat is it? What kind of Mishpat is it? It means the judgment. Judgment. The judgment means the Yom Adin. It's the day of judgment. And finally, after this Baruch Hu, we will render his judgment about the history of man. In the terms of Chazal have interpreted that process also in eschatological terms. What the Hoyo he will be, I mean, the Hoyo doesn't mean he is. The Hoyo is he will be. The Hoyo Be'ima Hu Yi Ad Hashem Echad. The Hoyo, what will the Shem Ba'at Tzim Tzareitam? The Hoyo Matach. It means, even though now it's present, the righteous man might be persecuted, or might suffer, or might not be recognized. But finally it will be, Lekin or Shoim, Kamechus Penaruach, he cannot say that now the Shoim are defeated. I mean, the Shoim are very powerful. That means, but finally they will be defeated. The final they will be defeated. Alkin Yekumu the Shoim by Mishpot, the Chatoim by Das Tzadikim. And when the Das Tzadikim will be redeemed and saved, so then the Shoim will be eliminated from that era. So apparently Chazal have interpreted the first chapter also in eschatological terms, in terms of the future. And there is actually, this is our viewpoint, and this is our philosophy, that the religious weakness will finally be defeated. Will be defeated. We say it, I mean, in the most expressive manner, we say it in what's here. Al-Layl Shabayach, yes, in Philos Rosh Hashem, Uvechein Tim Tavach. Uvechein Pulot, Uvechein Tichlo, Uvechein Tzadikim Yiru V'Yismochu. And if you read Ashrei Ish, 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 you see that the Lachintim particles are fashioned and formulated in accordance with that chapter. I mean, the one who wrote the Lachintim particles, most probably Rav, was guided by that chapter. Lachim tzadikim yiru v'yismochim. Al-kein li'yisumu l'shoyim by mishra tema tzikim. V'yisumu l'yisumu v'yismochim, v'yishom v'rimi aleizu, v'chassidu v'rimi gilu, v'yilosa tikpatsiyo v'chol orisho kulo p'rosh antichlo, v'derech l'shoyim tevet. Chol orisho kulo p'rosh antichlo. V'yisavir memshel ezodim in horet. Al-kein li'yisumu l'shoyim by mishra. This is the destruction of evil and the triumph of righteousness. But at two levels, there are evil and righteousness at two levels. At the public level, at the political level, at the communal level, and the individual level. Two kinds of riches, two kinds of righteousness, two kinds of wickedness, two kinds of kindness. Two kinds of benevolence. And Lomo Hochschild speaks about universal wickedness, cruelty, insensitivity, at the political level. Which power brings about. You see, you can have a people, it's very strange, you can have a people, you can have a people consisting of individuals, each one of them is kind and good and hospitable and sensitive to his private life. If you appeal to him for help, he'll extend a helping hand and so forth. But as a state, as a group, as a community, there might be, all individuals together might be very wicked, very cruel, very intense. In no cases in history, the individuals per se, that don't commit any crime. As a people, as a state, as an empire, there are no ends. As a matter of fact, let's say, for instance, the United States. There isn't a more generous person than the American is. And he's generous. Also the state America has been very generous. However, if you take, for instance, the way they treated the Negroes and the slaves in the past century, there was cruelty. And the cruelty was more of a collective nature, in my sense. Sometimes the crowd is cruel, while the individual is not cruel. Many times. Take children, each child separately. He's very kind. Take a group of children. These children should begin to resent a friend of theirs or a pupil in the same classroom. They can be very cruel, extremely cruel. It doesn't mean that each child per se is cruel, has no sensitivity. But when they dislike one of their friends, one of their classmates, they can be ruthless. And then at the contrary, there can be a people which is very generous as a collective, and the individual is insensitive. You see, there's two problems of wickedness and generosity at the individual level and at the political level, as a power and as a private person. Usually, a state commits crimes which an individual will not. Okay? Take, for instance, the story of, Malai, the Malay story. It's a very strange story. I don't know how much truth, but either something did happen. Never mind that Wallace tries to deny it. How is it possible that American soldiers are basically kind-hearted, and they have sympathy and compassion. I know how they acted in the extermination camps in Germany. Gentlemen. Yeah. So should assemble, women and little children, and shoot them down one by one. This is collective cruelty. In a war, the individual loses his ego. He's the nickname. He is a member of a group, you see. He has no will of his own, or a conscience of his own. His individuality, disappears. He dissolves completely. Is integrated in a collective. And the collective might be very wicked and very cruel sometimes. There are many reasons for it. They are tired and exhausted and angry and frustrated. There are many reasons. I want to give you examples of this. Certain crimes a group can commit. If the group commits crimes, the individual does it. truth is not a mythical concept, you see. The individual. But why, when the individual is completely lost, or completely lost, his individuality, his uniqueness, his spiritual personality, he is just like a member of a clan, a member of a species. I mean, the will of the species dominates him. I mean, the conscience, if there is a conscience, of the group, I mean, dictates his actions and so forth. That's why I always say that we, until recently, the Jewish people acted like individuals. They had no instrument, collective instrument, through which they could, so to say, how to say, implement decisions. I mean, there was no statehood. They had no idea of statehood. As individuals, the Jews were excellent. The Jew was kind and compassionate. He was not capable of murder and bloodshed and not robbery and not theft. I mean, the crime rate was so low. I mean, we used to have a petty thief in the Jewish community. Achmos Esochim, hospitality was at the highest level. Hospitality and help, I mean, and sacrifice and commitment. You see, I pray, believe me, I pray that as a state we should end the same way. We should not spoil or defile our reputation within the framework of a state, of a group, of a collective. And that's why I felt very bad. Very bad. Of course it was a mistake, no doubt. I felt very bad. I don't know how much. I think I suffered. When the bomb was dropped on the metal factory in 80 civilians. It's a mistake. Yes, it's a tragic mistake. Some certain things are mistakes, and such mistakes should not happen. Shouldn't happen. I wish that our history, the pages of our history, as it says, would be as clean, and would have no bloodstains, as our pages, as our annals have. Of the Jewish people in the last 1900 years, during which we were a stateless nation, we acted like individuals, not like a clique, like a community. And that's here, the two chapters. One chapter deals with individual kindness and righteousness. The second chapter deals with political kindness and righteousness versus wickedness and cruelty and insensitivity and so forth. And that's what Chazal say, that actually it's one chapter. It's a chapter that no matter how many defeats, I mean, kindness and righteousness and morality suffer, how many times morality is defeated on the field of death as better, and ruthlessness emerges victorious. The final battle will be won by Tzadikim against the Shem. That's why Chazal considered it as one chapter. As one chapter. And what stimulated me is the fact that I realized that Uvechintin Pardecho was written under the influence of that chapter. Certain words were introduced in the Chaim Pardecho, which were taken directly from that chapter. Now let me ask you, there's another question which I want to raise here. You said that David did not say how Luko. Until he saw Mapelosam Shoreshoi. He witnessed the defeat of Rishoi. So before the defeat of Rishoi is not mentioned. Not mentioned at all. The first time when David speaks about the defeat of the wicked is chapter 103. And before, it's the first. Kuba the Shem Der Tadikin Der Hashem Tele? Kuba the Shem Shein Yelekai
כי כיסו סקולי וילכי שני רשעים שבארת. סגימו. ויפיית צוהים לי לנגד עיניך שני סקול פי על הורד. יבישו ובא למית קולי וישו יבישו רובה. יגמר נורא רשועים התחיל לצד יקבלך למרס. וכל היחפרי ויפשע חסיף, אולי הוא כות חזל פסח. אקוט חזאל פייסט. דובי דז נאט קונקלוד דט אנ איט שאט צו דז אלל קו אנטיל הי זאד די סאמו רשוין מן אורט וחתוי מדיימנום דוק נאפש דז שם האל קו איז קורקט איז דז פירסט טיימ דז דובי יוז דז אמ אין די דז האל קו דז פיין האל קו וואט דז סייט דז פירסט טיימ אין קילן איז מנשן דז די פיט דז קומפליט אבסולוט די פיט אפ רשוין. It's contrary, I mean, to the fact, I mean, each chapter. Yes? Just a moment, before you say, ליאמר על ניקו עצרו במפלוסם של רשויים שנמה יתמו חתויים מן האורת ורשויים אידי אינום. I want you to ask a question. Yes. עצרו means he is vision, he beheld the vision. Yes. Then express the hope, say. The word does not mean historically, he saw. Yeah, he saw, he envisioned it, he beheld the vision, he anticipated, he expected. This is all, I mean. Yeah. Yeah, but I have something else I want to ask you. No one. We all know the minor emergence, that when the Mitri were killed, drowned in the Red Sea, Bikshu Malachi Ashore Kroin Ashore. So the Malachim wanted to see the hidden God. Omarim, so God told them, Master Yodai Tivin Dayam, my creatures are submerged in the sea. That and then Ushira, you'll praise me. So apparently I'm Apollosim Shoreshoim is not an event for a Kodesh Baruch Hu to rejoice. If you have to do it, you do it. You can't help yourself. Then either somebody comes into my house and wants to kill me, and I kill him, is it an event in which I can rejoice? I wouldn't want to show the face and say again,
And don't you get on me if I kill the person. Even though I saved my life. And if you say you recite a game of Hayom and Tevez, then you are saved without bloodshed. But it is Shalom, as I guess. That if one came in and wanted to kill me, I killed him. I put a splitter on the trigger. So I wouldn't want to shoot and say, and the congregation of Arisa respond, we should more of Cortez, should go on killing people over there. This is exactly. You don't rejoice. There are certain events which are actually degrading for us, but we can't help ourselves. We can't help ourselves. What can we do? Do you think it is? It is a simple for the Jews in the world to kill Egyptians? They're also human beings. But what can they do? They can't help themselves. They have to destroy the fortifications along the Suez Canal in order to prevent invasion. Because it's not a question now in a soil of strength. It's not space. It's a question of the physical survival of 2,500,000 Jews. Physical survival. Because if they lose the state, they will be massacred. One by one. To be a second Treblinka and the Shanty. But to rejoice in it, that's for sure. Can you rejoice? That's the idea in Master Yoda Tizen the Young. I've just exterminated the handiwork of my human being. And every human being is unique, every human being is endowed with some divine star. That way, I'm sure. I have to do it. That's what Chazal always say, where is that today? Some of us are just, where is that today? I descended. It's a degrading experience for me. That I should destroy iniquity. But I can't. But there was no choice, there was no option. This is the idea, Master, you're taking my young battery, I'm sure. So why suddenly the Gemara says, he didn't say Haluko, Haluko is the highest form of strength. As a matter of fact, it's being adapted by universal liturgy, Haluko. Universal liturgy. It's not only a word of praise in our liturgy, but in any kind of liturgy. It is the highest word of praise. It is the most sublime praise, is Hallelujah. You take Hallelujah and call, and you combine it to one name, Hallelujah. This is the song of sublime, I would say, ecstasy. The man is in a state of ecstasy, so he begins to sing Hallelujah. And then David saw Yitamu, Hashem, and Horeb, Hashem, and Edenom. Is both in action, my soul will praise the Holocaust. It's against the whole concept of the Judean concept of penalty. Correct. Exactly what I mean. Exactly. Now let us just see a few lines later. We'll understand what the Gemara says. Correct. So without Bruni, it's impossible to understand. The Marsha raises the question and has no answer. The Gemara tells the story. Who are the Beryonim over North? Beryonim, rebels. Rebels. Under world ties, mafia members. Highwaymen, whoever the army. Anyway, you're not gentlemen nor moral personalities. 100 billion were wicked people, criminals. Harvey, which is Wissed Rabmeyer, they lived in the neighborhood of Rabmeyer, close Rabmeyer. Now they come to Charlie to me, they used to cause him a lot of trouble. The anger had nobody did. Harvey could bear Rabmeyer, Rachmeyer lie, okay, he had to be Musa. Rabmeyer used to pray to God. He should simply take away, he should die, and he should get rid of him. Omrali Bruni Bruce, so his wife Bruni told him, my daughter, what are you out to achieve? What do you want to achieve by your prayer?
משום דכסיד יתמו חטאים. It means that we have to destroy wicked people. מכסיד חייטים? לא בכל חייטים. מסתינה. חטאים כסיד. You see, חטאים in Hebrew has a double meaning. חטאים חט, חט, סין, חטאים, the plural of חט is חטאים. Is a sin. Sin. Then there is Chatoyim sinners also. What is it? We'll read it in 2 weeks from today. Chatoyim Amaleki. The Achramte is a Chatoyim. You'll destroy the sinners. Chatoyim. As a matter of fact, there's a difference. If Chatoyim are sins, if I still remember my grammar, if Chatoyim are sins, then is Chatoyim Chet Chatoyim without a dog in there. If Chatoyim are sinners, there is a dog in there. Yeah, all right. Yes, correct? But Gruy apparently read Chatoyim as plural of Chet, not Chatoyim as equivalent of Chetim. Not of Chatoyim as equivalent. You see, Chatoyim. Basically, in pronunciation, there's also difference. You say Chatoyim sinners is Chatoyim. There's a double thing there. There are two tests. Chatoyim. If you say Chatoyim is the plural of things, it's Chatoyim. And the test pronounced quickly, you see. Yeah. And actually, I mean, so the singular of Chatoyim as sinners would be Chato. Very strange. We don't come across it in Tanakh. The Chato. Chato, of course. The singular of Chatoyim as sins, then it's Chet. So Bruno interpreted the Tamu Chatoyim in order not that sinners should cease to be, but the Tamu Chatoyim in order that sin be wiped off. Sin. Wickedness. Not the wicked, but the wickedness. יתמו חטאים מכסיף חייטים, חטאים כסיף. ואית שופי לסייף בכל. I mean, take a look at the end. ירושעים עידנו. What means ירושעים עידנו? It means the one sin will disappear, weakness will disappear. So there will be no wicked people. So once you wipe out crime, sin, injustice, meanness, there will be no sinners, no criminals, no wicked people. Ella, don't ask for their death. This is not the way to do. Deirachmi liyei, ask the other b'tshuva, they should return, they should mend their ways, they should rediscover their own humanity. Both, and remember, is the same with them, you would not have to deal with the same. Berachmi liyei, so Rav Meir prayed for them, the Hadra b'tshuva. And the highwaymen, the robbers, I mean, the criminals, the sinners, became ethical personalities. That's exactly what Rav Shimon ben Pazi, his brilliant son, he spoke in all forms about the destruction not of sin, but of sinners. Destruction, disappearance not of wickedness, but the wicked people. The complete extermination, not at sea, but at sinners, as people. And there is no Shira, there is no Holocaust. But in Borchi, Nafsis, Alishem, Alishem, Alakai, Kotal, Pamei, in the order of the Voskei, the Erika Salmo, he suddenly came up with a new idea. Why? The first time David discovered the idea that instead of praying and hoping, and anticipating that the wicked people, that wicked man, the Roshel, will be destroyed for eternity. Let us pray for the, actually, for the rehabilitation of the Roshel. That the Roshel be reformed, be rehabilitated, and changed into a human personality. What did he discover? What did David discover? For 103 chapters, he was just involved in one prayer, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should wipe off, exterminate sinners, criminals, wicked people, those who practice evil, mean people.
In the 103rd chapter, 104th, 103rd chapter, he discovered something else. There is no need for it. We can accept everybody. And let me pray, rather, let me anticipate and see, and behold the vision of a world towards that evil. The world will be cleansed and towards that evil. Certainly the world will towards that as evil dwells. What did he discover? He discovered something. It took him 103 chapters to get to that truth. What truth did he discover? What light went on? And he saw the world in a different context. What happened? First of all, what does David speak about Bochen Nazis or so? He speaks about that. If you take the... What is cooked dollar, huh? Kuvdalet, what is the main topic of Bochen Nazis or so? Of God's word, God's revelation in nature, that you can discover God in every beam of light, in the rushing tide, in the flight of the bird, in the roar of the sea, yes, I am God will have your day, in every mountain and in every forest. It means God's residence in the universe. God is not beyond the universe, he is also beyond the universe. Certainly. He is also transcends the universe. But he dwells in the universe as well. The immanence of God in the universe. God is a transcendent being, of course. Outside of the universe, outside of the cosmos, he is also an immanent being. He resides in the universe, in every phenomenon, in every blade of grass, in every drop of water, in every tree which blossoms, in every beam of light which penetrates into my room. You still do. If what? If God dwells in the universe, he certainly does reside in men as well. If every beam of light is the abode of God, and every blossom and every fruit on earth reflects his glory, and every cloud on earth bears witness to his presence here. So certainly man bears testimony to the presence of God in him. And if God is present in man, so then there is no need to condemn man, even the most wicked one. Even the most wicked one. Because man has a chance. First of all, we discovered what was portrayed here, God's presence in the universe. God revealed, embedded into organic and inorganic matter. God is not beyond the universe. He's right here. His presence is right here. And if he's present in every physical phenomenon, he's certainly present, he certainly resides in man. Number one, God's immanence in man. If God is immanent in man, he abides in him. He certainly, man should be given a chance. No one is hopeless. No case is hopeless. There is no criminal, even an habitual criminal, of whom we can say he is beyond repair. He cannot be rehabilitated. He cannot be reformed because he is rooted in and nurtured by sin, by hell. There is something in man, even though hidden under the very debris of his personality, on the mountains of effort, but there is a spark which can somehow be converted into flame. That Amadi Glorit Yichveid Adishem Leilom, that's how he says it. He says, what is Yichveid Adishem Leilom? God's glory is forever. Yisnach Adishem B'Ma'ato. God rejoices in his creatures. Why does he rejoice? Because he resides in them. If Yisnach Adishem B'Ma'ato, if God rejoices in man as well, apparently that the foundation of man, the basis of man is good. The root of man is kind, is noble.
It says, if this is a Shirola de Shem de Chayoi, you can only say praise, sing a hymn to God, as Amro le Lekai Beili, Yerav le Lepsichi. I'm not asking now for revenge. I'm not asking for retribution now, as it did in many other chapters. I'm not speaking about my enemies, who are a multitude. I'm not speaking about the persecution state I had to go through, I was subjected to. I'm not speaking about the evil they inflicted upon me. Yerav le Lepsichi, Onechi Esmach, Bad Hashem. Because now I see a different world, a different possibility. Now I am praying to God that actually that the good should prevail in man over the bad, and that Solomon the King should gain the upper hand over the devil in man, over the beast in man. Yitamuch hatoyim min oret, u'shoyim edenom, bochim nafshiyas adishem. Because my soul is the abode of God. And that's why my soul is longing for Him. Because my soul is a part of divinity. That was the new discovery that David made. And that says, Omar David, Omar al-Luko, Hachiroa b'mapolosem sh'reshoi, means he must be. Mapolos Hashem means Rishon will disappear, cease to be, because Chet will be wiped off. Shinema yitamu chatoi min oretz, Rishoi medenom, bochi napshes al Hashem har luko. And that's why the Gemara quotes right away. Next, the story about Brule. Because without the story about Brule, the previous statement is completely enigmatic. Brule, the wife of Chabnea. It's 5 years, Dr. Rosa. Of course. Correct. God waits for man to come back until his last breath. Yes, there is two things. There's a question whether God will accept him. There are two problems here. Whether God will accept a man who spent 70 years lived a life in sin and in crime and in ugly. And then the life breaks. Certain categories of men which are excluded, that was, cannot be reformed, cannot be rehabilitated. Crime is habitual with them, it's goodbye. We deny it. Because we believe in the divine character of man. Is it talk about? Yeah, correct. Of course. Yes, different. And this is the pasuk, Yichveda the Shem Le'ilam. The glory of God will prevail. It means it might be that a man should waste many years on a senseless life, but the last moment the glory of God will prevail. We yisnach Hashem b'nor. God will rejoice in myself, in everyone, no exclusion. Yitamach atoy min oretz roshoyim elinam ochmach Hashem. And I want you to know that when the Misadri Atzira, those who composed our prayer, have actually introduced the motif of triumph of righteousness and the complete defeat of wickedness and cruelty and sin, they never spoke about the story. Let us take, for instance, Looking at the power. וכן תמפר וכן צדיקים יירו ויסמוכו, וישורם יעלזו, וחזיקים ברינו יגילו, ולא סתיק תצפיו. When you speak about goodness, you speak about people, not about abstract goodness. וכן צדיקים יירו ויסמוכו, וישורם יעלזו, וחזיקים ברינו יגילו. When you begin to speak about nations, the negative, I mean, phenomena in life, is already you don't speak about evil doers, but cholerisho kulo koshen tichlo, it's already an abstract noun, wickedness. Kisavir, not zedim inoret, memshore zarein, the dominion of wickedness. As I or iniquity, you know. Take Valkyrie Kavalocha. Valkyrie Kavalocha, the Shevra came to Liris Meir of the Sarah Suzako, Lava Glum in Ore for Lulim Korah decoration, just to wipe off the idols or the nation. Sakhan Ilam of Malchus said, I know what you want to have. I have the question, I don't want. We'll compare notes, please, Your Honor. The second Ilam the Malchus Shaddai to restore the world to the kingdom of God or to establish the kingdom of God, to hold the new vessel. All men of flesh. Zikru Vishmecha. What does it mean, men of flesh? It means men who succumb to the flesh. Men who succumb to the flesh. Men who wanted to enjoy life and so on. One fraction. With one moment of enjoyment, they sacrifice all ideals, all principles, don't you? We know such people, many. For one short moment, I mean, of enjoyment. Enjoyment of power, enjoyment of bodily pleasure, of carnal pleasure, they are ready to sacrifice everything. For a few dollars, they'll sacrifice. They'll abandon all principles. Those are called Nivosa. Chol Nivosa, you say, Chol Nivosa Yevedo. Oh, no, not Yevedo. Yikru Lishmecho. You should involve the name. La'atni Selecho. Chorishi Oretz, the most wicked. Chorishi Oretz means the most wicked. The tyrant. Chorishi Oretz means the tyrant of the earth. Who oppressed humanity. We don't say, okay, the Kavalocha, they'll disappear, they'll be crushed, they'll be exterminated, they'll be killed. No. The Afnish Lecha, they'll turn to the Yakir of the Yudhiko, Yisheseil, Shemachaticha Kol Derech, Yisheva Kol Lechem. There's only one place. That's what you want to ask? Ramoshim. So that's what they ask? I guess right. There's one place where people are mentioned. In the Brochen Velam Arshini. You're correct, you're right. Let's say Brochen. Velam Arshini Maltis Tikva, Vecholorisho. You don't say Velam Arshini should disappear. But just a moment, but we are not clear. Just a moment. We are not clear with this here. Of course, the emphasis is placed even in the Brochen Velam Arshini upon wickedness as such, upon cruelty as such. Of course, it is emphasis is placed. But when you mention evil doers, squirrels, informers, Velamashim Altisikla, you don't say they should disappear. Velamashim Altisikla. What means disappear? They should not be successful. Yeah. You know what Mashim meant that time. You know what Mashim meant that time. Mashim means squirrel, informer. But what it meant, I mean, it meant, you don't forget, it was during the time of religious persecution. I mean, when the Jews practiced Judaism clandestinely, in secrecy, and the Roman government used to hire scouts, spies, I mean, to report, to inform them about the Jews who don't abide by the imperial edict. And you know what it meant? Disobedience, martyrdom. So then we come to blame the Jews of the second century in the Sefer Vamoshini. But anyway, the Sefer Vamoshini, they should not succeed. the whole of this show, we have to write it to emphasize. The whole of this show to read that paper. Weakness should be there. No? Malchus Zobel, it's interesting. You have many. This, the Ramo Sinin, this broche, is perhaps of course, you know, very well. We have many mischoys in story, we have many verses. The Stine was committed to writing only during the Daonic period, not before that. So, I mean, our tradition of Stine of prayer, why we have so many verses in Stine? Because while the Mishne was committed to writing much earlier, so the Stine was written down in the Daonic period, the beginning of the Daonic period. But the Ram of Shinim underwent so many changes, so many transformations, because of the censorship that intervened. The old, most part of the old Nusche is the Malchus Zobel. Meir Oseaker, Usaber, Usnader, Usachmiya, Meir of Yamin. The Ram of Shinim out of Sikwa, or the Laminim out of Sikwa. Yeah, the new Christians, Laminim. The new Christians served as spies with whom the government of Rome used to employ in order to inform about the Jews who disobeyed the edict prohibiting observance on Israel. The Laminim altruistic war, the Cholerisho, the Red Atevei, the Malchus Zobein, Neurosaker, Ushaber, Usmager, the Sachmiya, the Nehero, the Yomeno. There's nothing wrong. We talk about Malchus Zobel. Malchus Zobel means the dominion of evil. Not the evil there. Yes. Baruch Atah Hashem, Shever Eivim, Umachmiya Zedim. Yes. What does Shever Eivim mean, Shever Eivim? Apparently, Shever Eivim means break them. Breaks means the conspiracy. Prevent them from implementing their plans. Implementing their plans. She doesn't mean destroy. Destroy is, we have many, many synonyms for destroying in Hebrew. None of that. Say that I mean it breaks up the conspiracy. You see it, you can say it in English. You break up the conspiracy. Conspiracy means many people, get organized in order, to do some harm or to inflict harm upon somebody. Shever Eivim means to break up the conspiracy. Umachmi Azedim means and defeat those who want to do evil on it. So that there is no destruction and no actual request for extermination of the people. The people can come back. The people can simply repent and rehabilitate themselves and redeem themselves. Yes. Yeah, but that's in plural. It's not an abstract noun about this. But Shinim is a concrete noun in plural. They should not succeed, they should be defeated. But there is something else. All right, so actually that's how you see it. In Rosh Hashanah, Malchus Rosh Hashanah, V'chein Ken Pardecho, and Ram HaSinim. Even Ram HaSinim, I want you to understand, Ram HaSinim was written at the time, and I want you to know, the Gemara tells a very strange story about the Ram HaSinim. Very strange story. That Rabbi Gamliel has invited scholars to compose the prayer. Yes. And so Shimon HaTakuli was the one who composed the prayers, formulated them. And then Rabbi Gamliel says, "Mi yodei alisakim birkas anim." Who can write the bracha? Shimon HaTakuli wrote 18 brachas. He left out Olam HaSinim. So Rabbi Gamliel said, "Mi yuchal alisakim birkas anim." The Gemara in who can write the bracha, the prayer against against the minimum, the former of El Tzapa. And it was difficult to find. Finally, Rabbi Shmuel HaKotel was the one who wrote and he composed that prayer. Why Shmuel HaKotel? It's very strange. Why Shmuel HaKotel? Because Shmuel HaKotel, the Perek wrote Shmuel HaKotel. What was his motto, Shmuel HaKotel? You know, in Perek they quote in slogans, the mottos. The mottos have different scholars. Emory, they said many things. Emory, they said, well, they only said three things. But this was their slogan, their first word, their motto, I mean. I mean, the Shamit, Ashkenaz and Gilead said a lot of things, I mean. Emory, you say, I mean, this was their slogan. What was the slogan of Shmuel HaKotel? A verse from Mishlei, from Proverbs. When your enemy is defeated, don't rejoice. Will be costly when it trips. Al yogin libecho, your heart should not be gladdened. Shmuel HaKotel is qualified to write a brocha on Moshevim. Why did he choose Shmuel HaKotel? Shmuel HaKotel apparently was a man who, you say, without understanding for enmity, for he never could harbor a grudge against anybody. He could never be angry. It was kindness itself. It was better. Even your enemy, don't smile if your enemy fell. He was running and he was about to attack you, and he treats himself. Let your heart not be gladdened. He's a man who simply personified kindness for saying, why did you write it, why? So exactly. You didn't want anybody who may write the bracha with hate, because he suffered enough. We wanted that Olam HaShemim be composed by Shmuel HaKotel, who did not know what hate meant. But did not know at all what hate meant. Only love and kindness, you couldn't say. So Rabbi Gamliel said, he should compose it. So certainly Rabbi Shmuel HaKotel, when he wrote Olam HaShemim, Shmuel HaKotel, when he wrote Olam HaShemim al Pi Tikva, he didn't mean he should somehow be crushed or be physically exterminated. Or they should suffer, or they should be tortured. He meant on the same of these people, all the things conspiracies. They simply prove unsuccessful if they be broken. From this exact, I just want to add something else. Now, so we have actually two principles. First of all, that God resides in the universe, in nature, in human beings, certainly. Number one. Secondly, that every man is capable of tshuva, of repenting, of improving his life, of rehabilitating himself, reforming himself, and something else. So what does it mean wickedness should disappear? No, I want to understand this carefully. He means wickedness should disappear. I mean, when you say wicked man, the evil doer, the criminal, the sinner should disappear, I understand. You crush him, he should die, he should lose influence, he should be defeated completely. But when you say in abstract, the dominion of evil will wipe off the earth. Wickedness should disappear like smoke. What do I mean in practical terms? Yes. How? You can say perhaps the inclination, the evilistic, but I mean something else. The idea is that sin does not flow from man. Sin is born in the environment. Sin is not man is a sinner because he is evil by nature. If we were evil by nature, we'd have no choice at all. Just a moment. that basically man is seduced, I mean, to commit sin. Because as a matter of fact, Chave, why does the Torah tell us there was a nochosh, a snake, a serpent, whoever it was, a snake, a serpent, very, 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 very wicked creature, very creature. And he seduced Eve, and he actually convinced her that hath sin is sweet, and the fruits of sin are delicious. Why didn't the Torah tell us that Chava did it herself? Because the sin is an extraneous factor. Man succumbs. The Israel of Adam Ram normally he may succumb to sin. He lacks the power of resistance, you know. He lacks the power of resistance. He cannot defy sometimes the environment. Sometimes it's difficult to defy the environment. But sin is not born within man. But sin is born outside. In the economy, in the social order, I mean, many sectors are responsible for sin. But man himself, if not seduced by the Nochos, Chava would never touch the fruit of the Yitzhak. This means, Yitamu Chatoim in Ores, Chatoim, sin, as such, or weakness, means the world should be purged, reality should become clean and redeemed, conditions should be changed. Man would have no need, would not be coerced or forced to do sin. Because the idea is that basically when man sins, he acts under coercion. But there are many kinds of coercion. Don't think you have to hold a revolver, a gun at his face and say, if you don't kill, I'll kill you. I mean, there are many. Basically, sin is coercive action. He does it under constraint. Maimonides has developed it. Maimonides has developed it that actually man wants to do good, but he is by extraneous factors sometimes forced him to deviate. And that means wickedness should disappear, means actually that social order, economic order, and so forth, cultural concepts, I mean, and circumstances, political, economic, should change and should not force men to sin. That's exactly what Chazal means. He has always, right? Because sin is a state. It's so interesting. It's like, you see, when you speak about forgiveness, how did we begin to pray forgiveness? And we have a beautiful garment, the garment was soiled, and there's a stain on the garment, we apply detergent and we wash out the stain. What does it mean? There are many, you keep a vehicle in my interior and so forth. The water, why the water became the symbol of forgiveness and absolution and atonement. Why water? Because the water washes off dirt. So sin is not a power, it's dirt. It is a layer of dirt on his body and his soul, you see. But dirt can always, you can get rid of dirt if you apply strong detergent. And this is true. And that's what Chazal, sin as being an integral part of man, then sliche, forgiveness, would have been almost paradoxical. It would have been an impossibility, it would have been absurd. But it's not an integral part of man. It's a layer of dirt that somehow got stuck to his body, to his soul, to his personality. And that can be washed off. This means Yitamu Chatoim. Yisgadol v'yisgadosh, me'erabod, yomo divroti, yisoyni yom lich malchusei, v'chayichon v'yemechon, v'yemechon v'yemech Yisrael, v'agolori,